Oscar Tabatami, come on down. You're the host of the Insurgent Radio Network, broadcasting live from the bunker in North Central Indiana, right next to Tabatami's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but mostly eat drink. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the Insurgent, just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you? Terrible Tommy here in the bunker on a rainy day here in the Midwest on the, what is it?
Oh, man, I can't even see my calendar. It's April
17th. Hold on, I got to get my calendar around here where I can see it. Pardon me, boys and girls, it's the 14th. The old man living out here in the woods, so you lose all track of time. And it's April, and it's Moon's Day, and we got a full moon, so watch it. Don't run into any loony people today, because this is the day, the next 24 hours, where you got to watch it, man. They're everywhere. That's right. Well, me and my main squeeze went out on the lake Saturday night. Beautiful lakes here in Indiana. We have 100 of them right here in our county. Went up to one of the big lakes where they got a dance hall and all kinds of stuff. And you can drive right up to the establishment in a motorboat if you want to. Yeah, that's right. It's beautiful up there, and a beautiful evening. Heard some good rock and roll, too. How about that? I recorded a little bit on my little recorder. Maybe I'll put that on at the end of the show. We'll see. Oh, and I did something very bad. I broke down. I worked all Saturday morning, or Sunday morning. You know, we work on the Sun's Day here. The sun doesn't think it's sinful to work on the Sun's Day, so we work. And pruned a bunch of trees and gathered it all up and put it on my big old funeral pyre stack that I'm going to burn one of these days. And oh, did all kinds of honeydew stuff around here, and came afternoon and about 2, and I said, oh, what the hell, we'll go to the movie. So I loaded my dogs in the van, and because they always like to get at least one ride a day. And I made a very bad pick. Of course, there wasn't much to pick from. Boy, I'm telling you, the movies nowadays, especially here in the Midwest, if you're in a big city, you got more of a choice, and you got arts theaters too, where you can find some good foreign films and so forth. But I'm telling you, it's slim pickings. They try to run too many damn cartoon type movies for the kids and all that kind of stuff. And so I was faced with the choice of that one with, what the hell's his name? Anyhow, about football, nigger ball football. And which probably the acting would have been probably pretty good in there. But I said no to that. So I said, oh, we'll go watch Noah. Oh, what a mistake that was. I think they've been taking crack when they made that movie, because it's wild. Especially they had somehow fallen angels came down to the earth a long time ago, of course, in the beginning. And they screwed up, and they were turned into giant rock formations, like these mechanical men, you see. What do they call them? Not Terminators, but anyhow. And these giant rock formations got up and walked around. I'm telling you, when you get the Hollywood Jews and the Christians together, the product is going to be pretty shabby. It was long. It was boring. I went to sleep twice, and at least I get the senior citizen price, which is $7, which is not too bad. But I could have watched a couple of movies on regular TV for that price. But anyhow, don't waste your money on Noah. I don't think that movie will make anybody happy. Now, especially, there were some special effects in there that were pretty good. But storyline and all that stuff was nonsense. Nonsense. Even for a good mythical thing, it was bad, you know. It just was disjointed and screwed up all the way through. So save your money. I think that Russell Crowe liked this latest. They got a series on TV. I never watched it with Arab or with Islam people. It's a comedy. And at one place in there, the guy says, the gal walks out and she's showing her belly button. Well, Russell Crowe, to me, Russell Crowe, I would say to Russell, are you on, you be on crack? Russell, when you come up with these ideas, you be on crack? But I guess he is one of these hardcore Catholics. And once you're into Christ's insanity, there is no boundaries. No boundaries. You know, in the same theater, they had this movie, God, and There Is No God. What the hell's going on of all these pseudo-religious movies hitting the screen? I'm telling you. A note from Tommy, one of our friends. He says, I started subscribing to your radio show last year. I could send more, but I'm about to be laid off from my job in November. Well, yeah, you keep your money if you're going to be laid off. Unlike the other so-called white nationalist talk shows, you're the only one that talks about real issues, which is that of our own race is the real problem. Our race has sold each other out and will continue to sell each other out. Out of greed, power, prosperity, or just plain cowardice. It's not the Jews, per se, is the central problem. The niggers and the spicks, the chinks, or whoever. It's us whites. Yeah, that's true. Well, I've always said if a certain percentage of the Jews are a problem, it's because they're parasites. And they follow us everywhere we go. Once they got out of the sands of North Africa, all of a sudden then they create Christianity, and then we're off to the races. So that's just the way it is. But when you're dealing with a parasite, if the parasite's successful, it's because you're not cleaning yourself. Now, perfect allegory to that was that having worked in the yard, well, all day Saturday and part of Sunday, I was in shorts and a t-shirt. Well, when I came in the house and actually got in the car to go down and run down to the movie, I had picked off of me two or three of these little I forget, you know, what the dogs get out of the weeds, and you can get Lyme's disease from that stuff. So, if you allow them to brew into your skin and suck your blood, you know, whose fault is that? They're doing their natural job. You know, sort of like that tarantula that jumps on the back of the frog and asks the frog, will they take him across the river? And the frog says, well, if I do, you'll bite me and I'll die. And the tarantula said, well, I wouldn't drown myself. So the frog says, get on his back. Halfway across, the tarantula bites him. And they both die. And as he's going under, the frog says, why did you do that? You're going to die too. He said, because that's my nature. So you have to have resistance to that kind of stuff. So the best resistance is you're working out in areas where they got all these parasites. You come in the house and take your clothes off and take a shower. and make sure anything that's on you is washed off. Now, if you don't wash the parasites off, the parasites will get into your skin and suck your blood, man, or your doggy's blood. That's sort of the allegory there. A Jew can get into your, and get to your skin and maybe even bite you. But it's up to you to dislodge him, wash him off. If he's a big one, you grab him by the head and pull him out and squeeze him. And so it's up to you, white man and white women. If you've got a corrupt, filthy, nigger act and race, it's because you allowed it to happen. You allowed leaders, your so-called leaders, to be bad people. And they do it because if there's a vacuum, there's always something going to fill it. That's the natural thing. So people do not, good honest people, don't jump to the fore and become leaders or do whatever they have to do to become the leader, as far, but not to betray their race. And when they don't do that, well, then guess what? There's a vacuum. And guess what jumps into the vacuum? Corrupt white people, along with their Jew buddies and, you know, others, other non-whites. And just because they're not overtly mean doesn't mean they're not not your enemy. They can be very polite to you. They can say, well, we empathize with you. We just want to, like all the parasites would say, we just want to share what you've got. We mean you no harm. We just come in here to better ourselves. Well, that's what all parasites, they jump on your ass to better themselves, sucking your damn blood. Well, as I told you last week, my friend Jeremy Reinman had passed away out in California. He was born on July 14, 1971. Died on March 20th, 2014. And my kids, a couple of my kids represented me at the ceremony, at the family home. And they sent me a nice little memorandum here with his picture and so forth. And on here it's got a poem, "Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride. Forever in our hearts, you will live on through all the amazing memories we have shared with you. Thank you." Okay. That, of course, Jeremy Reinman's paralyzation by being shot in the back by a filthy Mexican, mestizo, should have never happened. And I regret that that situation happened because there was a crazy guy that wanted to be involved with us that at the time we didn't realize he was, well, he wasn't overtly acting crazy, and his wife wanted to have a birthday party for him, but she was sort of a space case, and they called me and told me that they'd like for me to invite some of the skinheads I knew to come to the party. Well, I wasn't going to be going to the party, but I said, well, I'll let them know. But she didn't tell me they're in a mestizo part of town. It was up in North Hollywood, I believe, or up in that area someplace. Not a totally mestizo, but enough. And so some of the skinheads went over there, including Jeremy, and they took a break and ran down to the grocery to get some beer, of course. And here's another problem. They're always dressed as skinheads and shaved heads and everything, so they're easily spotted by any problem, whether it's cops or whether it's Mexicans or blacks or what. And they get into a hassle inside the store, and the shooting starts. The skinheads didn't have a gun. The Mexicans did. And so that Jeremy Ryman got shot in the back, severed his spine, spinal cord. And I remember one thing that came out of it. As the cops were leaning over Jeremy, who was obviously couldn't move on the ground, they were making a big joke out of it about the skinhead being paralyzed and shot in the back. I wasn't there, but I got the word secondhand. Just another reason I don't like cops. I know there's some good cops out there, and I've run into good cops, good white cops. But for the most part, they're not. And they'll do anything to get what they want. So anyhow, 14.5, if you talk to cops about your activities, then it's your problem. I've warned you for years and years and years and years and years. Seems like forever. Anyhow, that's what happened to Jeremy. Totally senseless paralyzation, which ultimately led to his death. The reason I don't support gatherings of racialist people, and it seems a little bit lonely sometimes, I know, because a lot of people of like mind would like to get together, but we can't afford that luxury, except maybe on a one-on-one situation. If I wanted to, I could be having them in my backyard barbecues every weekend. I could have this place loaded with skinheads, and I guess there's some Klansmen around this state too and stuff like that, but I don't do it. It's just not the thing to do. If we lived in a little different white society, it would probably be okay. But you can't do it now at all, because they're just going to cause you trouble that you don't need. And it's not because you're a coward or anything like that. It's just that you got to be smarter than the average bear, right? Now, the most I usually do is someone calls and like to meet me, and I meet them in a well-lit public place and have a cup of coffee or maybe a beer. Talk about an hour, and then that's it. I'm gone. Those are things you can do as long as you're real careful and know who you're dealing with, or at least don't be silly and relate something that shouldn't be related, or something that might not hurt you but might hurt somebody else. Somebody that wants to know, do you know such and such from over there? Do you know such and such from over there? I don't know anybody. I'm all alone. There's nobody out there but me. Yeah. I bought a little piece of electronic gear on the internet the other day, and with it, this big company gives you a special deal. You can pick out 4 magazines for a year for $2 a piece for a whole year. Of course, you got to remember at the end of that time to cancel it, because they'll roll it right over into your credit card or bill you. But now I'm going to get these magazines, and I'll send them into the prisoners. So they don't have racial magazines, of course, but they got National Geographic Traveler. That's a good one. Bloomberg Business Week. Yeah, that's a good one to watch. This Old House is about working on houses and fixing them up. And Rolling Stones. That's to keep your eye on what the moderns are doing and stuff. And once in a while, they have a good article in there, or an article you can read between the lines and use. So that's something you might think about if you got cheap subs to magazines, or if you sub already and then take those magazines and send them on into prisoners after you get done with them. I think they'd be happy to have those. Well, I see El Presidente, Obama, is hosting an Easter prayer breakfast with religious leaders. So what if the building don't fall down? He's no more a Christian than my dog. But that's Hollywood, Washington. A shooting at two Jewish centers in Kansas City on Sunday left three dead. A Missouri man with a history of anti-Semitism and a former KKK leader allegedly shot a boy and his grandfather outside a Jewish community center and a woman at a Jewish assisted living facility nearby. I believe the woman was Jewish, but the boy and his grandfather were Christians that were attending a neighborhood church that wasn't far away from the Jewish center. Isn't that something? Fraser Glenn Miller. I had warned and warned and warned and warned that he was bad news. He made an agreement with Morris Dees years ago down in North Carolina. And then he went on a self-styled shooting spree with two other guys a little later on. They got arrested and he ratted out two of them. He attacked the order all the time, lied about the order, may have even gotten them worse prison sentences. I'm not sure about that, but I know the order man, people of the order in prison didn't think much of Fraser Glenn Miller. Fraser Glenn Miller claimed he was a Green Beret in Vietnam, but I knew years ago he was nothing but a company clerk. Well, there's nothing wrong with company clerks, but when you lead people to believe you are in combat, but you were handing out underwear as a company clerk, that's a little bit much of a lie to me. Fraser Glenn Miller was married to a Southeast Asian woman, and had an Asian half-breed child years ago. And then he remarried. But still, my position's always been, if you marry a non-white and you have kids, that's it, you're out. You never can come back. I think if you marry a non-white woman and not have children and see the error of your ways and leave her, separate from her, divorce her, or vice versa, that's a different story. But once you've defiled the blood, as I was, so to speak, there's no going back. But the right wing have a way of accepting people back all the time. People who've been informers or they deny their informers and so forth. Glenn Fraser was an alcoholic, at least ever since he's been in the military early on in Vietnam. And you can see, if you read between the lines, this is what happened in this case. He evidently was gambling all night. He was with her with his wife, but he'd become separated from his wife, evidently, during the evening. So here he's drunk again, and we've got way too many good white racial people in prison, mainly because of drinking. Not so much because of other drugs. And it's too bad that he wasn't smoking pot, because the chances of him going off crazy-like and shooting up the town would probably not have occurred. Now the problem is the blowback. Now I left the right wing a long time ago, but of course the press will never leave me out of the right wing any more than they have ever left me out of the Klan. Even so, they talk about me in the Klan today. I haven't been in the Klan since 1980. That's a long time. Yeah. The thing that always drives me crazy about the right wing types is things like this. Now, what possibly could be gained by shooting down two Christians and a Jew that for the most part didn't know anything about anything? I mean, even a working class Jew is not into the deal. They obviously feel some allegiance to their group, but still, then those people like that didn't have the power that Jewish woman living in an assisted living place, that is a threat. That's how you're going to start the revolution. That's a very sad situation. What it shows really is the cowardice of much of the right wing. They can't kid me. They know who the top criminals are in this country. Thousands and thousands of them. Throughout the government, throughout all kinds of things. And I would say that out of the thousands and thousands of arch criminals working against our race, mostly at the top, connected to the ruling class, only a small percentage of those are Jews. But yet all the way, you know, this morning I'm getting an email that he killed three Jews. Like, that's okay, but I don't understand. What does that gain if there were three Jews? This has happened before, and two or three times that guys have gone hunting Jews and shot people who weren't Jews. Bad enough to be called all kinds of names by the press, but to be called stupid by the press, that's even worse. So anyhow, the right wing, after all these years of me observing it and even being part of it, it's obvious that a large share that want to be warriors are cowards. If they know who the top criminals are in the country that have been responsible for not only thousands of deaths inside this country, along with the destruction of the environment and everything that goes along with that, and the Wall Street criminals and all that, and the hundreds of thousands of people bombed in Iraq and Afghanistan and all over the world, well, if they don't see that, and if they're going to do something about it, you'd think that they'd at least go to the top. Yeah, and that's what I said, ruling class, the top. I don't want people being killed on the street, people with no power, no ability to fight back. I mean, most of them are victims too. I mean, there are last I read, there was 250,000 Jews in New York City living under the poverty line. I mean, you know, and there's mass poverty in Israel too. What do you think about that? But the criminal class is percentage-wise not very big. 2 or 3%, and then of course they've got their lackeys that defend them and go along with them. But it'd be quite interesting at least one time over the years the right wing would have got somebody that really deserved it. I mean, you know, the people that start the wars and fund all that stuff and send all these weapons to foreign countries to kill everybody and steal their land and everything like that. He's predatory capitalist. The people are really bad, and the people are really doing bad things to everybody. But the most the right wing can figure out is how to blow a couple of people away on the street. Wow. Let's see some real criminal activity here. I'm going to play a clip for you. Now, I know, there's listeners out there going around outside saying, hey, Metzger's advocating killing all these people, and assassinating people and everything. No, I'm not. But I'm saying if you were to do that, and if you were going to put your life on the block, wouldn't it be a service to the race and humanity to get the right people? People that the left and right agree on. There's plenty of arch criminals. I'm not going to name them for obvious reasons. I'm not afraid to. I just don't think it would be wise. There's plenty of guys out there who are running a show that both the right and the left agree on. So the left's got the same problem. They don't have big balls in Texas either.
And thanks, Will. Check him out, hempmatters.net. Hempmatters.net, okay? This comes under the heading of really typically U.S. foreign policy. Okay, here we go. This is from the Business Insider. In March, Barack Obama reportedly offered Israel bunker buster bombs and other advanced weapons in exchange for postponing an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. At the time, the White House denied that any such agreement was proposed or reached. Bunker underground nuclear facilities. This week, the U.S. Department of Defense notified Congress of a $647 million agreement to provide the Israel Air Force with 10,000 bombs, more than half of which are bunker busters, along with 7,000 Joint Direct Attack Munitions, JDAM tail kits, which convert unguided freefall bombs into satellite-guided smart weapons. Haaretz reported that the deal would serve, quote, to renew the inventory of the Israel Defense Forces following the massive bombings in Gaza during Operation Pillar of Defense, end quote. Blah, 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 blah. Last year, the New York Times reported that the United States refrained from sending these munitions because, quote, there were deep concerns in the United States that supplying these bombs to Israel might be viewed as having tacitly endorsed an attack on Iran. Okay, that's the sale of 5,000 bunker buster bombs and 5,000 other bombs to Israel. And then there's this. The U.S. Pentagon said it plans a large arms sale to Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates worth $10 billion. The weapons include bunker buster bombs and air-launched cruise missiles that can hit targets from a long distance, according to the French news agency. The weapons will be used on U.S.-made F-15 and F-16 fighter jets, according to the U.S. Defense Security Cooperation Agency. Now, this is not news from last week. I mean, this is so typical. The Saudis, who produced 19 people who came to this country and murdered 3,000 people on American soil with the help of the Bush administration. The Israelis are threatening to start World War III, or as the Christian crazy people call it, the rapture. So what does the United States do? We give the Saudis, or we sell them, $11 billion worth of cruise missiles and these enormous bunker buster bombs. And to Israel, we give 5,000 so-called bunker buster bombs and the JDAM kits in order to change free-falling bombs into more or less satellite-guided missiles. But remember, we're a Christian nation. We're just chock-a-block with Christians. So we're going to sell weapons of mass destruction to the Jews and the Muslims. I mean, is this not... Oh, never mind. Never mind. Good Lord. Oh, and Pat Robertson now is worried about the health care supply. Yeah, the health care supply. After he said he was now a Main Street pundit, Robertson, according to Crooks and Liars, Carolee over at Crooks and Liars had this up, he took after liberals for their nerve to want health care for everyone and a clean environment. Right Wing Watch caught him ranting at all the subversive acts of wanting everyone to have access to health care. Oh, no. First, he goes off on Democrats for wanting to take over health care instead of leaving it to the insurers with some kind of market-based solution. I mean, what the hell is Obamacare? Pat Robertson, I don't know. The only reason I bring up Pat Robertson is he's so goddamn funny. He's a real comedian. Robertson began his rant by falsely claiming that the Affordable Care Act is a government takeover of the health care. Well, that's what Sarah Palin's been saying that since she was 3 years old. He said, quote, the government shouldn't be providing health care. That's not their job. The government should take an opportunity for the should make an opportunity for the private sector to provide health insurance. Of course, that's exactly what the Affordable Care Act does. I mean, Jesus God. And then he said, this thing has been an absolute disaster. The president has been willing to destroy the health supply of our entire nation to accommodate the left wing. This is left wing ideology, and we've got to resist it. He's destroyed the health supply? What does that mean? How do you destroy? Well, see, it's Pat Robertson. One word for you, Pat, Xanax. Try it. You'll like it. And stop taking that cheap ass acid that you take. That's what they do. That's what Billy Graham's son, what's his name, Franklin Graham, and these Christian right wingers, you know, they eat bad acid. Stop. Listen, I don't want to say anything on the radio, but hey, Pat, I might know where you could get some good stuff. We'll be right back.
Well, now, who's the real criminals? We're not talking about these small timers that are in prison. Even a serial killer in American prison is far better than these mass killers that run the country and these corporations that run the politicians. So here we are. Anybody ever... This is a democracy, of course. When's the last time they ask you whether you wanted to send hundreds of millions of dollars in bombs to Israel? I haven't even seen this story on regular television. I have to go to my to the old left wing there, to rogue progressives, and a lot of stuff comes through the left, but the right, they got a shot in the arm by Alex Jones. Don't ever listen to the left. Yeah, don't ever listen to the left. Listen to Alex Jones. He'll tell you who the enemy and what for. Yeah, but make sure you send him some money. He needs the money. Well, a friend of mine sent me this article. Actually, he's doing time. He's in prison. You know, a lot of guys in prison watch the news and the media very closely. A lot of times they send me stuff that I'm not getting even from the outside. That's interesting, isn't it? This article came out on the 7th of April. I've had it a few days. It's from the Washington Times. Something called the Southern Poverty Law Center sounds like a harmless do-good organization of idealistic young lawyers out to make life better for poor folks in the South. Most of them likely black. Who wouldn't want to make life better for poor folks? But looks can be deceiving. the Poverty Law Center. I call it the Millionaires Law Center. Known by its initials, the SPLC is annually a money-making scheme. Some have called it a scam of an Alabama lawyer who set out years ago to get rich on the backs of the poor and the duped. Gee. The lawyer, Morris Dees, once defended Ku Klux Klansmen accused of beating up a black reporter covering the Freedom Riders. He later raised money for George Wallace, then George McGovern, and one day had an epiphany, or at least a profitable idea. Quote, "I felt the anger of a black person for the first time," unquote. He later said of his case, quote, "I vowed then and there that nobody would ever again doubt where I stood," unquote. Where he stood was a place where he could parlay the goodwill of the unsuspected into great riches. Mr. Dees and a partner, Millard Fuller, practiced law and ran a direct marketing business. One of those businesses was he made cakes to eat early on. That was one of the scams. He made a good living, but he wanted to get rich. Quote, "Morris and I shared the overriding purpose of making a pile of money," unquote, the partner once told Harper's Magazine. You see, this information has been around in one way or another for a long time. But Dees is protected. Quote, "We were not particular about how we did it. We just wanted to be independently rich," unquote. And the reason Tom Metzger says that they're protected is because they do what the federals like, and that's spread fear that there's a Klansman under every bed or a neo-Nazi or Tom Metzger or something. I mean, when Morris Dees said that Tom Metzger is the most dangerous man in America, well, that's nonsense. I mean, some of my ideas might be a little dangerous to some people, but I'm not going to accept that label. But that's the way the government benefits, by scaring people. So that's why they like the SPLC. With his conscience in tatters, Millard Fuller sold his share of the business to Mr. Dees, gave the proceeds to charity, moved away and founded the Habitat for Humanity, building houses for the poor. And as long as they were building for white people, I support that particular thing. They built a couple here in the town where I'm near. White people are living in. I know where there's one they built that's got Mexicans living in it. Morris Dees stayed in Alabama and built a 200-acre estate with tennis courts, swimming pool, and stables for his horses. And instead of doing good, he did well. Quote, "Poverty quickly became an enormous profitable business. He was soon collecting millions and paying himself a salary far in excess of those paid to the heads of such advocacy groups as the ACLU, the Children's Defense Fund, and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund." The director of the Atlanta-based Southern Center for Human Rights, which defends poor defendants in death penalty cases, once told Mr. Dees he was a fraud and a con man because of your failure to respond to the most desperate needs of the poor and powerless, despite your millions upon millions, your fundraising techniques. He used to stash his money, this is Tom Metzger speaking, he used to stash his money in something called the Southern Trust. But in my investigation and contacting the Trust Division of the Alabama State Office, I believe it was a black man, said to me, there is no such thing. No, there is no such thing as a Southern Trust. So where is that money? Mr. Dees and his center continued to slander the innocent and raise money from the unsuspecting, warning, and fundraising appeals of a firestorm of hate that would soon engulf the land. Yeah, and that, of course, feeds what the government always wants, to keep people in low-level fear. Not high-level fear to where they panic and riot, but low-level fear all the time. The SBLC never identifies the hate groups about to engulf the land, who they are or where they are assembling their regiments or engulfers. Well, they have done that. With the KKK shrinking to insignificance, the SBLC, which is thought to be sitting on a treasury of $250 million, has lately turned its lurid appeals to prosperous but frightened gays. Hate crimes, by the SBLC definitions, now include Christian opposition to same-sex marriage. Yeah. Well, I know he's got more than that, because 20 years ago, his IRS records, which you can get, showed that he was well over $200 million. So, this week it emerged that the FBI, which has included SPLC data as a resource. You know where they get it? Out of the newspapers and right wingers that talk too much. Anyhow, the FBI has finally severed its link with the organization and dumped SPLC from the Bureau's hate crime webpage. See, when they went after me in Portland, Oregon, I said, you know, first it's me, and you're not going to do anything, and you're laughing about it, and all your Christian groups and all that. That's okay, because it was Tom Metzger. He's a racist. But I said, they will come after you. Wasn't long after that, they started going after anti-abortion people and so on and so on and so on, and using my case as case law to build new cases. The FBI offered no explanation of why now, but the dumping follows appeals of 15 family groups to Attorney General Eric Holder Jr. and FBI Director James B. Comey to sever the connection. We think it was a good day's work, and that was the writer of the article's words. Now, of course, this has all been known for long, long time. I mean, the Montgomery, Alabama Advertiser, I think it was, did a 4-year investigation on Morris D's operation. I think I've still got copies here back in the corner someplace. It was a long, long article. It was serialized on what a crook he was. But yet, on the aftermath of this shooting in Kansas City, I was scanning the satellite radio last night, and they were all on there, quoting the SPLC, quoting the SPLC. And every time the SPLC starts screaming and gets invited on these radio and TV stations, they take a lot more sucker money from the people. So, what are you going to do? When people are so stupid and such sheep, they won't even investigate an obvious crook who's siphoning off money that should go. I mean, you know, in my case, they didn't get much. I mean, compared to what Dees got, $7 million that year. He took in $7 million, mostly because of the work of the press on my case. So, the so-called victim got peanuts. He got my old house. I paid $13.95 for that in 1968. I guess by the time he got it, it might have been worth $125,000, but it had needed a lot of work. So anyhow, D's takes in millions and pays out just a few bucks. So anyhow, and also, they, of course, I put out, they lie, keep lying about me going bankrupt. I never went bankrupt. John Metzger never went bankrupt. But I still see him saying that stuff. Yeah, I still see him saying that stuff. So anyhow, now all the media, especially on the internet, is just brimming over with everybody crying about this Kansas City deal, yelling, screaming. Everybody's trying to fill up their broadcast time and make money off the situation by selling more fear. Selling more fear. Let's listen a little bit of this and see how it goes.
Members, and they call themselves the Invisible Army. Now, that kind of group of people could have an impact on a school board book, textbooks. If you had 1,000 people come out and say, we want it to be our vision of race or our view of what Jews should be described, that they could have that impact. So there's no connection to the violence part. It's more like, you know, you do have a resurgence of the Klan in certain parts of this nation. This guy was a one-off crazy guy, I think, but I'm not kidding. I mean, I've been in Florida recently for shows. I was in Rollins College, and they told me, I was just there a week ago, they oddly brought up, you know, just in this county, the Klan has reemerged. I'm like, what are you talking about? They go, yeah. And then I did some research, and sure enough, they have. So I'm hoping it's a one-off what we saw in Kansas City, or is it the bubbling up of what's going on beneath the surface? Because the Southern Poverty Law Center has said the domestic hate groups are at all-time record since Obama was elected, and they're growing. And I'm hoping it doesn't lead to any more violence. I think we're all hoping that. But you wonder if we're going to see more.
You know what's crazy about these shootings, at least two of them that we can think of, the one yesterday and the one in, was it in Wisconsin, where the Sikh family was
right.
Slaughtered, six, how many died?
At the Sikh temple? This is like
the Sikh temple, yeah. The assailant directs their hate at the wrong people. If he was trying to kill Jews, he killed a Christian and his grandfather. Yesterday in Kansas, and that guy was, I would imagine, trying to kill Muslims. I don't think he
was... Right, exactly what they thought. That's what they said. You know, I found this out, Pete. I hate to overgeneralize, but I'll get a letter from, like, hate groups and from neo-Nazis going, that's not right, don't demonize us. But they're not the brightest people. You know, that's where I found that out. But then there was this terrorist attack at the LAX airport not too long ago by, and that guy went after federal employees, and he did kill TSA employees, and that was deemed a terrorist attack. So... You know, this is something the Southern Poverty Law Center has talked about. I went to Peter King's hearing a few years ago on the radicalization of Muslims, and there were Democratic members of Congress going, hey, buddy, Muslims are not the only threat to this country. In fact, there are more terror groups, and statistically, more terror plots overwhelmingly have been stopped or have been involving non-Muslims in America the last few years. And I'm not saying they're closing their eyes to it, but they have to look it up. You know, you have to be aware of... These threats come in all shapes and sizes and colors and races and religions, and hate is hate. And, you know, that's the troubling thing, the narrative.
It's happening throughout the entire world, especially in Europe, where anywhere that it's majority white or Christian, and you have Muslims breeding at a far more rapid rate.
Because we can't eat pork, but roofies are fine, so that's wrong. I'm sorry. Again,
it's religion that is. It's a religion that is, I think, one of the fastest growing religions, and people are terrified of it. They're terrified of it in coming into their town. They're terrified of it coming into their country, and Europe and the United States. And anywhere they see it creeping in, they put up a fight. Because they're worried about being, you know,
those people,
that culture, that religion, and everything that comes with it, being part of their neighborhood.
The rhetoric before. Go read pre-World War II Nazi rhetoric about the Jews. And I've done research recently because I'm going to write an article at some point. And if you read the language they used about the Jews, it's eerily similar to what they've said about Muslims not being, that they seem nice, they're not. It's also, it really is reminiscent of what you hear about Latinos and Asians, not Asians, of other minority groups in America, where you have some people who, you can hear the shrillness and desperation in their tone. America's changing. They want America to go back. I want the old America. That old America, the America they want to go back to is a white-dominated America where there's no multiculturalism, where gay people are quiet, where you don't see people of color. And I don't mean they're racist. That's their vision of America was of the 1950s. And you hear Republicans say it all the time. It's part of their campaign. Well, America, let's make America back to the way it was. And I'm like, where are we talking? Are we going, talking, you know, segregation? Are we talking Jim Crow? Are we talking Dred Scott? I mean, how far back? And I don't really, and over the weekend you had Steve Israel, the congressman, the head of the DCCC, saying that he thinks many in the Republican Party are animated, and that was his term, animated by racism. And he said, I think a substantial portion, he said, oddly enough, which I think is a bit much, frankly, is animated by racism. I'm not sure that's true. I don't really think a substantial part of the Republican Party is animated by racism. I think there's a component to fear. I think, and I think Republican candidates play on that fear that America's changing. It's not the country you thought it was. So get ready, folks, because scary people are going to take over and make America all different things, whatever that might be. You know, whatever fear you have, they're going to play for you and tell you. So, you know.
It's working. And
well, there he's telling you the truth. These political parties use whatever they can use as far as fear is concerned to keep you corralled and keep voting for their candidates, even though they have no... They're not going to solve anything. They're not going to change anything. And they're sure not going to really take care of the invasion of immigration like they should. So he's right. And the right-wing conservative-type whites, and for different reasons, the whites on the left follow them like the Pied Piper of Hamlet. And so when he says what he just said, he's correct. That's why most of the email news I get in here is, oh my God, stories. And what's going on and what's... things that are happening that are bad for us and the white race, instead of concentrating on what's hurting the system, what's screwing them up, what's fouling up our enemies, which shows that reactionary politics work, and the right wing just glamours on to manufactured news for the most part and repeats it. Like having your enemy do your dirty work for you. Yeah.
Warren, and have you said Bill Maher ripping the, you know, Mike Rogers for going from policy making to a place where you can, quote, have more effect on policy, I guess. Okay, maybe it wasn't a quote. AM radio. So he's going from the place to change policy to move to a better place to change policy, which is AM radio, and that is, you know, what my Daily Beast have written to. First one was about...
Your last one was amazing. You were all over. Okay. You predicted Colbert. You were the guy.
Making a lot of predictions in this. But Dean, the idea that the radio talkers have... there's no consequences for them.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
I mean, and they win off of a lot of this... See, a lot of this fear and hatred that people of of color, different, whatever it is, whatever minority you are, even women, they hear that and they respond to it. People respond to that. They change the way they think. If you only see negative images, if you only images you see of blacks or of Muslims or of any group that's not your own are negative, then who could blame you for developing a negative attitude? That's all you hear. It's all you see. It's all you're supposed to. And that's what ignorance is. It's one definition of it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'll leave you this. As long as you hear of stories where people like Fraser Glenn went out and shot a couple of people, you'll know that the real hardcore in this country are not at work. They're not into that. When you stop seeing these top criminals drop, for the many reasons they should drop, you'll know it's begun. But not about cows on the government land, so-called government land, which I don't accept that either, or about shooting down two or three people had nothing to do with anything, you'll know that that's all side issue crap. But when the real serious gets serious, you'll know it, and it won't be people in the street. That's about it. 14:05, that's it for today. I'm off and out to do some more work around this old bunker, and hope you enjoy the show. I'm glad you're getting your donations in. I hope you keep on supporting us, and if you're in the right wing, if you got one foot in the right wing and one in what we're talking about, you better get that other foot out, because if you've ever been walking through the swamp and you get your one foot in quicksand or the bog, you can be stuck there for quite a while and not get out. And that's not good. 14:05.